A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Since many have undertaken to set down an orderly account of the events that have been fulfilled among us, just as they were handed on to us by those who, from the beginning, were eyewitnesses and servants of the word, I too decided, after investigating everything carefully from the very first, to write an orderly account for you, most excellent Theophilus, so that you may know the truth concerning the things about which you have been instructed. Jesus, filled with the power of the Spirit, returned to Galilee, and a report about him spread throughout all the surrounding country. He began to teach in their synagogues and was praised by everyone. When he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day, as was his custom. He stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where it is written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on him. Then he began to say to them, "Today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." The Gospel of the Lord. As you heard last week, Deacon Charles and I are preaching a series now on the topic of becoming missionary disciples. And last week, the gospel was the wedding feast at Cana. And we read how the bride and groom had run out of wine, and Mary was the first to notice it. So she went to her son Jesus and informed him of the situation and asked him to do something. And Jesus did. He changed water into wine, and the celebration was able to continue. And so, like Mary, we are called to try to lead others, people in our life, to the joy of Christ, to the joy of knowing Christ and of him working in our lives as he did at the wedding feast of Cana. And so we are called to be missionary disciples to others. It's part of our DNA as Christians, as Catholics. Today we see the example of another missionary disciple. This time it's from the first reading. It's the priest and the scribe Ezra. And to just better understand Ezra and his situation, I'll just give you a little bit of background information to this first reading. And as I give this background information, I think you'll be able to see many similarities between the situation that Ezra was in and our culture, the times we're living in. Now, in 587 BC, the Babylonians invaded all of Israel and conquered it. So they destroyed Jerusalem and the temple, and then they forcibly took the Jewish people with them into exile, into Babylon, which today would be modern-day Iraq and Iran. So the Jewish people ended up living in exile for over 100 years. And while they were living in exile, the Jewish people more and more lost contact with their own traditions, their own stories, their own worship, their own practices and history and beliefs. In short, they were more and more losing their Jewish identity. And after living more than 100 years in exile, most of them had become assimilated into the pagan culture around them. And they thought the way the pagans thought. They behaved the way the pagans behaved. But then finally, one year, King Artaxerxes, he gave permission for the Jews who wanted to return home to Israel. So Ezra and Nehemiah were two of the Israelites who did return. And when they reached Jerusalem, they found broke their hearts. Jerusalem, the great capital city for the new Jewish nation for hundreds of years, was now a wreck. The temple was destroyed. The city walls were breached and broken down, and the streets were overgrown. And so the people wept and were disheartened with what they found. However, Nehemiah, their governor, he led a great campaign to rebuild. And since the people had grown ignorant of their history, their traditions, their beliefs and practices, and had lost to a large degree their own Jewish identity, Ezra, the priest and scribe, began to re-educate them. Ezra's heart had been broken by this massive and terrible falling away of the people from their core identity, and so he tried with all his heart to remedy the situation. So today we read in the first reading how Ezra brings out the Torah, the book of the law, and then standing on a raised platform in the midst of the people, Ezra read from the Torah to the people, and it says he did so from early morning until noontime, giving also the interpretation and understanding. Talk about a long homily from morning till noon. And the men and women and the children, they listened. For hours and hours, they listened to the great story of who they were, where they came from, their purpose, their mission, their identity. And when Ezra finished, they all shouted, Amen. They rediscovered their identity, who they were, their mission and purpose in life. And now, when you think of that narrative, I think it's a perfect commentary on our society today. As you know, in Canada, about 85% of Catholics stay away from Sunday Mass, week after week, month after month, year after year. So they have drifted into a kind of self-imposed Babylonian exile. They've assimilated themselves more and more to the pagan, secular culture in which we are living. And so how will they come to know their identity, who they are, and what they've been created to become? Countless young people, and not so young people, it's amazing, just don't know the Bible and the stories from the Bible. They don't know about Abraham, Moses, the prophets. They don't know what the Ten Commandments really mean. They don't know prayers. They don't know the incredible stories of saints, the rich history, theology of the church. They don't even know what it means to meditate on Scripture or how to do it. Many are not baptized, more and more. Surveys show over and over again that about 23%, that's almost 1 in 4 North Americans, claim to be atheists. The vast majority of the other people live as though there was no God, and they have therefore have no personal relationship with Christ. And so, if our religious beliefs and practices do not define who we are, if they don't give us our deepest identity, meaning, and purpose to our lives, then something else will. And what is that something else? Well, it will be the prevailing culture. It'll be what we see and hear in the movies and on TV, what we read in books, the music we listen to, what we pick up and read on Facebook, Twitter, and podcasts. And so we too now live in a culture where a whole generation, maybe two generations, no longer really know who they are or who they are called to become in God. And instead, they're chasing after what the culture tells them is good, which is really largely a chasing after a wind and will leave them empty in the end. And so I'd like to ask you a question, and me too. Where are the Ezras of today? Where are the people of faith whose hearts, like Ezra's, are broken by the situation they see around them in our culture? Now, many of you I know have been coming to church Sunday after Sunday for years, and you have a prayer life. You know most of the stories in the Bible. You have your faith. You're striving to have a personal relationship with Jesus, and that is all good. But do you, and do I, do we feel Ezra's broken heart over the many people in our culture who don't? And do you and I have a passionate desire to help people rediscover their deepest identity as human beings, to help them to discover who they are in God? Do we have a passionate desire to try to do what we can in normal ways in leading people back to Christ? Because without Christ, they will never be fully satisfied, and without Christ, they have no hope of eternal life. And so let's try to be honest with ourselves. Do we share in Ezra's broken heart? Do we share in Ezra's passionate desire? If not, then today might be a good day to pray for it, to have the kind of broken heart that Ezra had for his people, the passionate desire he had for his people, because it really does reflect the broken heart, I believe, and the passionate desire God has for his children when he sees so many of them wandering far away from him. And if you do have that broken heart and that passionate desire, that's good. And the next question would be, well, are you helping? Are you trying to do something about it? Again, are you involved in some effort, some activity in which you're seeking to bring the light of Christ to others? Whether it be to be part of the St. Vincent de Paul Society or Light on Main, which brings material help to people who are in need, or part of the Knights of Columbus or CWL, or part of the Adoration Chapel in which you pray for lost souls. Have you tried a Crucio weekend or joined a small faith-sharing group to really support others in their faith journey? Have you invited anyone to join you at one of our Alpha programs? And are you helping possibly to welcome people before Mass, stay for fellowship afterwards to get to know and encourage others? Or are you involved in childcare, children's liturgy, or visiting our shut-ins? We are all got part of God's family. And when you think of it, in every family, in every natural family, in your family, my family growing up, in every family, each family member is called to contribute something to the well-being of the rest of the family members. The only people in a family who are not expected to contribute something to the family are the babies or people who are sick or wounded in some way. And so a very fair question, I think, to ask ourselves is, are we involved? What are we involved in order to contribute to the well-being of this church's family? There's a huge need, and there are many, many opportunities. And so let us maybe just end with a prayer to the Lord and say, Lord, stir up in our hearts, in each and every one of us, the same passionate action we see in Ezra in today's first reading. Like Ezra, Lord, give each one of us a broken heart when we look at the pagan culture we're living in today, when we see generations of young people and not so young who are lost, who don't know who they really are as human beings, who don't know who they're called to become, have no religious identity, have no relationship with you, their Savior. And Jesus, strengthen us and use us that others will see your light in us, and because of that, may want to return home to you. Give us hearts like Ezra's heart to invite them back, to warmly welcome those who accept our invitation, to accompany them and encourage them that they may discover at the deepest level of their being who they truly are in you and who they are called to become in you. Lord, give us a heart like the heart of Ezra today, and better yet, give us a heart like your own.